Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Right now on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions, I got a band that has been really, really been blowing up. Now, before I introduce, I do have to mention that during this time, this past year, there have been tons of bands that have kind of taken this time to write new material, to take it easy. Obviously, no one's playing shows, but this band right here has been hustling harder than any band that I know, and they've blown up. They've been performing at NASCAR events. They've been on NASCAR soundtracks. They're singles everywhere on nationwide, even worldwide. And the band is called Avoid from Seattle. So congratulations and welcome to Loud and Local.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks so much for having us. We're so happy to be here and appreciate all the kind words, man. Thank you.
So kind of bring, actually, first, before we jump into it, why don't we go around the room, introduce yourself and tell us what you do for Avoid.
Cool. Well, I'm Luke and I play guitar.
Nick, I also play guitar.
I'm Benny and I yell stuff.
I'm Chris and I play bass.
I'm Paul, I play drum.
Right on, guys. So, fill me in on the last year, man. Fill me in and tell me, because this has been... If from the outside looking in, am I correct in assuming that this has been your biggest year as a band?
Who? What?
Yeah.
We never thought we would be saying that at the end of this year. Yeah.
Am I right in assuming that?
Oh, yeah. It's been astronomical. We can't even fathom it.
So tell me, like, fill me in, man. Like, where did, you guys have been hustling hard, I mean, as a band, but you guys have really blown up. Where were the big steps? Like what, what has your ascension looked like? And when did you first start to feel that, this year?
It hit when it was, Sirius XM? That was...
Yeah, I think when Song About James... Yeah,
we got NASCAR.
Heat. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah.
There's a couple things.
Yeah,
there was a really quick, cascade of things that happened, one after another.
Yeah.
But it kind of started when we got, confirmed to be placed on NASCAR Heat 5. That was, the first big thing that happened.
Two songs.
Yeah. Two songs.
Well, here, so let's get some context.
Absolutely. So you guys are, let's start. You guys are a band from Seattle. You guys start, when did you guys first start playing?
So Avoid kind of started right in the beginning of 2017.
That's right.
It was a continuation of our high school band, Avoid the Void.
Avoid the Void, yes.
2012.
Yep. So the continuation, you guys play shows, and did you guys do any big tours before the pandemic and whatnot?
Yeah, we got a couple. I feel like we started touring as Avoid the Void even. We started touring right out of high school, or in high school I was at the time. I was booking tours for us in the back of class, and we were just going out. We rented your mom, not rented, your mom's minivan.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of just went every step of the way for the first couple years was crazy. The first time I ever played with them was completely on a whim. And the first show I ever played with them, I was sitting in my science class in high school. And Benny texts me, he's like, "Hey guys, we're playing a show tonight. Actually, we just booked it." And I was like, "I don't even know the songs. I joined a week ago."
We tend to do that a lot.
And that was my first kind of experience with how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it went for the first couple of years. Yeah, we piled in a minivan for our first tour.
But yeah, and so then we kind of continued that, and we did it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then we were all like 18, 19.
Yeah.
And we had some other members in the band at the time, but we were like, how do we take this to the next level? And we knew we had... not blemishes, but it was like, all right, we have our high school band, Avoid the Void. It's cool, but that's not necessarily what we want people to go back and look on in 20 years, per se, or whatever. And so we wanted to keep the fan base we had already built here, but mm-hmm. also be a kind of brand new entity in the industry's eyes. So that's where we changed it to Avoid.
Yep.
And we started touring just straight. And we actually got signed pretty quickly after that to a small label.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with Revival Recordings, which is Sean from Alisana's label.
That's awesome. So you guys do some more touring, and then when exactly did you find out you were going to be placed on this NASCAR soundtrack? Because that's huge. I mean, I'm not personally like a huge gamer, but when I do pick up games, I mean, you always recognize the songs that are playing. And yeah. I mean, I remember I got into a lot of punk and hardcore through Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. So it's, yeah. I mean, that is just an immediate... fan that may never have heard of you all of a sudden just gets a gateway into, you know, this new band. And that's just completely, you know, they weren't clicking on your Spotify. They weren't going out to a show. They're just, oh, okay, cool. Catchy song on my favorite video game. So, tell me, how did you get this placement, and, how did you hear about it?
Well, so about 2 years ago is when this all... So, Luke and I are lifelong racing fans.
Oh, cool.
Like,
oh, yeah, wow.
His family comes from Indianapolis, and so they've always done stuff with, like, the Indy 500, and he...
You go out there, like, I don't know. I just grew up around it.
Yeah.
I mean, the 500 was a big part of my family. My grandpa used to work for the sanctioning body for the Indy 500, and he, basically just... From the second I was born, my whole Indiana family brought me into racing, and I never got to race on my own, you know, because expensive. But
yeah,
I've been a fan my whole life for sure. And
long story short, Reddit. Reddit.
Oh, yeah. That's
where it came. But we've all been kind of lifelong racing fans, especially Luke and me. And we decided about 2 years ago that we wanted to start making some of these next steps of the band. Like, how do we separate ourselves from the rest? How do we do some things?
What unique thing can we do that no one's really done that we've
done? Yeah. And so one day at practice, we were literally just like, a year from now, we're going to be on a NASCAR. Like, we just
manifest.
Put that out in the world.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to start pushing for.
Yeah. We were like, let's get on the game. Let's get on a car. Let's do it all. And we were just throwing these ridiculous ideas out there. But I feel like all of us knew that it wasn't that ridiculous because...
Like, it felt like, because there was a genuine connection there, because for years we've always been wearing the merch and mm-hmm. talked about our open love for the sport, but we also, ripping the merch, but we recognized kind of an untapped market within the alternative music, especially in this up-and-coming era.
Yeah.
And like, how do we separate ourselves from the rest, but also continue to be reached out to a huge audience, and we're like, racing.
Yeah.
So then
Reddit. What's this Reddit connection?
Then came the night.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, no, I'd say it was like a month into being quarantined, and I mean, I was bored. It was like mm-hmm. 3 a.m. and I was just scrolling through Reddit, and I remembered us talking about like ways we could get in contact with this the development team over at the NASCAR games, and I noticed that a bunch of those developers were really monitoring the subreddit for, which is like the forum for the NASCAR Heat game.
Okay.
I made a post and I was like, hey, my bands are really genuine. Like, we just genuinely love this. We bring a PS4 and a TV on tour to play NASCAR Heat in the parking lot. Like, we do it every single tour. We genuinely love it. I've been playing the NASCAR games my whole life. And so I made this post and I was like, just asking for a contact, like an email, anything. And I woke up the next day and nobody had seen it. But one comment, and I was like, that's probably just somebody saying good luck, and it said, DM me. So I clicked on his profile, and it's a developer for NASCAR Heat, and I was like, what? I posted one this guy. 7 hours ago when I was just like, asleep.
Right?
I was like, bedtime. And like, I wake up, and that contact was there, and it took a little while. Like, he busy dude. You know, they were preparing for this release, and they're a really small company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out 704
Games. Yeah, for real. Yeah. 704 is a super small company, and yeah. So we were just really stoked to be able to, you know, get in with them in an organic way. Because it's not like we did it like as a marketing scheme. We did it because we're like 15-year-old kids who just want to see their stuff on a car or in a video game. We're just like, yeah.
Trying
just
to wanted to do
it. And it was like, it felt like the press from it was just a really good side effect from like a genuine thing that we wanted to do.
So you go from being just super fans and manifesting that you're going to do this like a year ago. And then I love the fact that it's not, you know, some marketing plan or some rollout thing from a label or a PR company, that it's just literally you messaging the guy and him getting back to you and you guys doing it yourselves in the true like punk rock fashion of just doing it yourselves.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate like you recognizing that, because like I guess even we didn't really recognize that it was even that it could be considered like a PR or a marketing thing. Like that, I don't think any of us thought about it that way.
We were just little kid happy.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Exactly. It was like, we love NASCAR. Like, I wanted to race, and I know Benny did race for a while. I wanted to race so badly growing up, and it like actually made it hard for little young me to watch racing because I wanted to do it so bad.
Yeah.
And so, and like my grandpa was so involved with the 500 on like a legal level. He just worked for the sanctioning body, like I said. Mm-hmm. And so to find my own like genuine way and our own genuine way into something we really care about is like, that's gratifying enough for me. See our name on a car for the first time at a track, or hear that song when we fire up the game. Like, nobody could see it or know who we are, but it would make me happy every time for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I can speak for all the.
Is there a way to gauge and see, like, I mean, I don't know if you can really gauge numbers wise, but do you see an effect of being on that game, how it's done to your profile?
They leaked two songs from our album.
Early.
Yeah, because the game came out before our record came out, and we got two songs on the soundtrack, so someone took the time to rip the songs off the game and upload them to YouTube. And I was let's go!
Like, yeah, that was pretty...
And it was cool
to know that someone cared enough to leak our
right? Damn, dude. Legit. So you get that, you get Sirius XM, and you guys are off to the races, man. And then last week, how crazy is it that you guys got flown down to a NASCAR event to sing the national anthem? Is that right?
Yeah, yes, sir. It was. Well, we actually drove,
We drove. Okay, yeah. You drove.
Yeah. We missed tour. We had to do it.
Yep.
We wanted to feel something again. So, yeah, we drove down, and when we got involved, and so then the other side of the, besides the game, then he actually had an old buddy that played in a band, and he actually got really involved in NASCAR, and he was like a day-to-day manager for an Xfinity Series driver, and through that became a sponsorship opportunity for the band to actually like get onto the car in real life. And so we're an associate sponsor, so we're not like on the hood, but we have our logo on the side of the car every week, and on the hauler. Have gotten to get they flew Luke and me out to the Talladega race last year as well, and we've gotten to be kind of thrown into a whole different world of a lot of different people, and so that's been really sick. But we go down on Friday, and they ask us. So when we originally got in, though, we knew we were going to do a version of the anthem at some sort, and so there was like they did a guitar version that we'd already submitted to NASCAR that they liked, and it was all good, but Las Vegas Motor Speedway really wanted it to be sung in a little bit more traditional. And so we had us
just do like a, you know, like a guitar and vocal version.
On 2 weeks' notice. This all happened really fast.
Yeah.
We showed up like to the track on Friday. They drove us onto the track, and like I pulled my amp out and we walked up to the stage where we were gonna perform, and they were like, "We don't have power out here. You can't use your amp." They ended up having this thing at acapella, which he has never done before. He had never sung a song acapella before he was in front of like 12,000 people in Las Vegas.
I don't think I've sung that song since like 8th grade choir class.
So
until 2 weeks ago.
It definitely turned into a debacle, but it was probably...
Then it went viral, and that was... a trip.
Yeah. Wow. That is a trip, man. So you know, usually, you know, hard rock bands, not to, you know, throw any tricks of the trade out, but, you know, usually you can kind of mask a performance if you've had too many drinks or something with some heavy guitars or, you know, some feedback, you know, just some heaviness, but, you're all out there, man. That's like the nightmare when you picture yourself going to high school and you look down and you're not wearing any clothes.
Dude, I can only imagine it's that feeling.
Yeah.
In real life.
But how was it for you? How did it go?
It didn't go bad.
Okay, good.
Everyone at the stadium, like, I mean, you know, the gals that did the anthem the next day, they performed it beautifully, but like, more people were cheering like in the middle sections of the song when Benny did it on Friday in person, but then the internet was like, we don't like it.
Well, it was also because, like, again, I'm a rock singer.
You had personality.
Such a crazy range. It's like, I'm not going to sing it perfect, and I'm not sorry about that.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit easier, though. Like, in the moment at the stadium and the feeling, I feel like it probably went well. But then when you have the raw mic with nothing on it, nothing but that's going straight.
Yep.
Right to the screen.
And you have that recorded and you can go back on it. You hear every little thing and, you know, I missed a couple of the low notes, hit the high notes that I didn't get enough credit for. But no, I mean, it was like, I don't know. I'd give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
It wasn't like Fergie. Some people compared it to that. But it wasn't like Houston. It was average, you know?
Hey, man. And you know, as long as you had personality and also now they know this story, too. Like, you had to be there, man. Like, that's I'd like to hear the critics try that, doing a acapella in front of 12,000 people on the spot. That sounds I'd probably crap my pants, so.
If anyone has a problem with our rendition, I dare you, post a video of you singing the national anthem right now.
Yes, and hashtag avoid Loud and Local, and we'll watch your video, and we can rate it out of 10, okay?
Rate it. I love that.
So, yeah, we're going to actually play a song. Why don't we play a song that was featured on there? Is one of these songs featured on that?
Yeah, Song About Games. That was the song that they actually chose to use as, like, the lead-out song for the game.
Awesome. So we're going to go into that. Can you tell me a little bit about the jam? Like, who's James? What's the song about? Can you tell me about James and the song about James?
Here's another story to unpack.
Okay.
So we wrote this song. Remember that guy on Jeopardy, James Holzhauer?
Mm-hmm.
He was on that incredible run.
Yes.
At the same time we were writing this song.
Oh.
Then he botched it.
Oh.
And I was like, man, what would it feel like to botch the biggest Jeopardy run of your life?
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration for that song.
Okay. Botching
the biggest... Then it got to him.
It got to him?
It got
to... Oh.
And he likes it.
Nice.
He likes it, and he actually recorded ads for us. He said, hey, this is Song About Me by Avoid.
That's amazing, dude. All right. Shout out to him for being a good sport.
Shout out to Dan Bullshour, baby.
For being a good sport. Right on, man. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Session. We'll be back with more from Avoid. Right now, it's Song About James.
Chose my fate. You had all the answers first.
song about James, a song that blew them the hell up, a void on the NASCAR Heat 5 soundtrack. We were talking a little bit about that, performing at a NASCAR event just last week when we record this. So now I gotta ask you a question, and even as if it's embarrassing, actually, the more embarrassing, the better. I don't want to hear anyone make up anything to sound cool. Be honest. What was the first CD, tape, or vinyl, first actual piece of music you bought with your own money? Like your own, you know, lunch money or, you know, allowance money. What was the first piece of music that you actually purchased with your own money?
I don't know. I can't promise it was with my own money, but the first CD I remember getting was Sum 41's Chuck.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. I think I bought that Alien Ant Farm CD.
And you, okay.
The Smooth Criminal cover, like the Alien Ant Farm CD.
Yep.
I think that was...
I think with my own money, I bought International Super Hits, Green Day.
Okay, nice, yeah.
I think mine was Rise Against Endgame. I think that was 2011.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He's a baby.
That's cool, though.
I think my first... It's between two. It wasn't CD, by the way. It was okay. On my iPod on iTunes.
Nice. Okay.
But my own money, I think it was Wasting Light by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good album.
Or it was either that or their greatest hits album at that time. I bought with my own money. Yeah.
It's funny when they say greatest hits by Foo Fighters because I feel like they're still making them. So, like, you know, there's got to be a greatest hits volume 2 coming out.
Yeah. Definitely.
But. Let's ask about, so you guys are a Seattle band. Are you guys all from the Northwest area?
The four of us minus him.
All but one.
Okay.
This guy moved up from San Diego.
Cool. Right on. What brought you up to Seattle?
These guys right here.
Nice. So did you audition for the band or?
Yeah. So the context to me in this band is,
who are you?
But so A Void's, it was your first tour, right?
As a void.
So their first tour, this other bands that were on the tour was Killing the Messenger and Redeem Revive, two San Diego bands, and cool. I was on tour teching for Redeem Revive. I just like grew up and knew those guys, and on that tour, like every night we'd hang out and we just clicked super hard. Like I think the fact that we were all young and we all had the same goal in mind, like we meshed super well.
This is what, summer of 2017?
Yeah. So Chris was 16 at the time and the rest of us were about 18, 19-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. We did that tour, meshed super well, and then kept in touch through the years. Like sometimes they'd have a member fall through for a tour. They'd hit me up and I couldn't do it because I was in high school, but we always kept in touch.
We would always stay at his house when we came through.
Nice.
San Diego.
Hell yeah.
I would book his shows in Seattle.
Yeah, so we're super close homies. I picked up a camera in like 2018, taking photos and stuff. And I did some tours with some other bands. And one of my bands I was on tour with met in Seattle. He was the promoter. And he came into my van and was like, bro, you need to shoot our next tour. Like, please tour with us. Let's finally make this happen again.
We were all there that night.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you're going to commit right now. Come on, do it.
You're going to come on tour with us and do photos. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do the tour and we do that tour. So, again, we meshed super well. And by the end of it, like there was a position in the band and we were going straight into the studio to record the burner and like, I was already there, you know, like I was already on the tour. So,
yeah.
So before being the bass player, he sits through the whole studio session with us as a part of the record process.
He actually made a documentary recording the whole process of that record.
That's so killer.
And at the end of that process, we just offered him the spot and we're like, hey, we like you a lot. Like you're the homie. We've known you for years. Like play bass for us, please.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't really a question. It was more just like, okay, so all of us.
Well, I had actually, there was actually a moment where things were just kind of going weird with another member. And I had talked to him a couple of days before and asked him if it was like, yo, if this comes out open, like, would you want to do it? And it was just kind of like, so after we kind of knew it was on the table and then everything worked, it was just like, okay, you're in. Like, you're in the band now.
Yeah. Oh. Hell yeah. So. Dude, that's awesome. And so this this album, the Burner. The Burner. My bad. The EP. It's available now. Was this recorded before or during the pandemic?
Way before.
Okay, cool.
Like August of 2019.
Yeah, August 2019.
Okay, cool. And this was put out on which label was it?
Bible Recording.
Okay, cool. Right on. So, what's the best way for people to check this out? I imagine it's streaming everywhere. And is it available as a physical copy if people want it?
Yeah, I think there's physical copies available on our Merch Now site, avoid.merchnow.com. And streaming, iTunes, Apple Music. I think it's on SoundCloud. Apple, so
or Tidal, Deezer, Amazon. Spotify, Amazon, all, YouTube, all of the major services.
Grindr, Tinder, Farmers Only.
Farmers Only.
LimeWire.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, man. That'll get you, like, serious viruses. I would know.
Don't use LimeWire unless you're using it to steal a void, which we are okay with.
Yeah. Well, you guys were down with leaking from the NASCAR game, but I was asking you guys if you're from Seattle because I wanted to ask this question. Why don't we go around the room? What's your favorite Seattle or Northwest band of all time? Whether it a band like Nirvana that's no longer with us, Jimi Hendrix, or a current band that you know you play with. What's your favorite Northwest band or bands of all time?
Alice in Chains, not even close.
Nice.
I love the rest, but Alice in Chains is like...
Yep.
I mean, number one is for sure Soundgarden for me.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cornell definitely did a lot for like a lot of the writing that happened, you know, between us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say Foo Fighters for start just because that's the origins of the band. But I think even a little bit more formative in my younger years, it would be Fall of Troy, Sunny Day Real Estate, Blood Brothers, that really weird, that cool early emo scene. Mm-hmm. I really want to give a shout out to that because it was just Gatsby's American Dream.
Yeah.
Just a lot of cool talent from up here.
Absolutely.
Acceptance.
Yes. They just put out a new record.
That's tough. I mean,
yeah, mine's Nirvana, but mm-hmm. I know it's like cheesy for sure, but it's because like all of those songs, you know, all of the hits were the reason I started playing guitar and like some of the first songs I ever learned on guitar. So,
and they still hold up. I mean, they're hits for a reason. They're just timeless.
Yeah, fantastic.
And how about you, man?
You said it, but Fall of Troy for me is like, I grew up in Everett, right across from Uncle Theo.
Yes.
From there. When I was young.
Shout out to Thomas.
My first band got to go to the studio for a weekend with Thomas Arak. Because just through family connections, one of my bandmates, Ethan, his uncle knew him. So we got to go. And that was really like really important to me to get to like meet him and work with him. And, you know, so that really changed my perspective. And so that's why Fall of Troy is like my all time Seattle band. But they're Muckle Teo and they fly that.
Exactly. Yes, they do. They do. I talked to Thomas and I was like, Seattle band. And he's like, nope, Muckle Teo band. All right, cool.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah.
Right on, man. So, okay. Imagine that you're having a crappy day, and it's not hard to imagine during a pandemic, right? So you're just like, there's a lot of crap news in your head, and you're just overwhelmed by it. You want to go to an album to kind of revitalize or to just get yourself in better spirits. What's an album you can reach to that can bring you up to better vibes?
Oh, definitely Wasting Light by the Foo Fighters. I know that's already been mentioned in this interview, but that was probably like one of the most important records for me into like getting into music. Like that.
Yeah.
Like those songs are all just perfect.
Anything that Mike Patton has ever recorded on.
Ah, yes, yes.
Pretty much
Mr.
Anything.
Bungle?
Mr. Bungle, Faith No More.
All the weird side projects.
Phantomas. Yeah. Peeping Tom.
It's Not a Cold Dead Place by Explosions in the Sky.
Ah, yes.
And then Anything at All by Copeland.
Yes, those are definitely probably, you know, great albums or bands to put on at the end of a long day to kind of just vibe out to, so.
Yeah.
I saw Explosions in the Sky open for Nine Inch Nails, and I don't think anyone knew what was going on. I don't think.
That's a cool show.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
That was really cool. And sorry, I cut in before you mentioned.
I think it's the Counselors of the Lonely by the Raconteur.
Mm, cool. I'll have to check that one out.
Good old Jack White.
Yeah, Jack White.
Good old Jack White.
A piano, you know, organ, big massive song. I love it.
Awesome. So we're going to go into another song here. And would you rather go into Heat or Hostage at a Beach House Party next?
I think we got to go into Heat next because we got to end them with Hostage.
Okay, cool. What can you tell me about Heat?
Oh, so Heat. So when we initially were like, let's get ourselves on a NASCAR and the video game.
This is that Reddit post was made.
Yeah.
So we sat down because we used to play NASCAR Heat 3 a lot. That's like the first game we all bonded over as a band. So like one day, Benny and I started writing a song that I had these chords that I had for a couple years, and we were just staring at the Heat 3 loading screen, just the title sequence of the game, just watching it loop over and over and over while we were writing the song. So that ended up becoming Heat. I mean, obviously we named it that. That's kind of a no-brainer. And then it was crazy to us because that's the other song that made it onto the game. So we kind of feel like we manifested that.
Yeah.
And they chose, like, we submitted the whole EP and then they chose the songs that they wanted.
Yeah.
So that was really cool that one stuck out to them. Granted, it was called Heat.
Yeah. I wonder if they knew. That's cool, man. So we're going to go into it. This is from the Burner EP, available now by Avoid. Awesome Seattle band. It's Heat on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Also available on NASCAR Heat 5. So if you you want to go play some video games, or can you rent video games anymore? People don't rent video games, do they? I don't.
Gamefly.
Okay.
Still, no, that's they would only send out DVDs, I guess.
But is it like I know PlayStation is doing that thing where you can like.
Oh yeah, PlayStation Now games. You can trial stuff.
Okay.
You can.
I sound like a boomer.
Heat's pretty cheap. It's always on sale.
Okay. So check it out. So the song Heat, available from the Burner EP from Avoid. I've been chatting with these guys. It's been a crazy year for these guys. They've blown up during a time when most bands have kind of gone into either hibernation or recording or maybe just kind of writing mode. So these guys have been really pivoting into a very... into a cool way of getting out there and some really cool opportunities have arisen for you guys. I'm stoked. But once, you know, things can go back to a relative sense of normalcy, whatever that means now, what are some aspirations for you guys? Benny, I know you work, is that right? You work at El Corazon?
Yeah. So definitely. And I work with Take Warning too. So yeah. We do a lot of those shows as well. And so definitely, I mean, personal aspirations is just building this scene back up to the top because, yeah. I mean, I cannot wait to book another show. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And then as a band, at least my, because I think what's cool is we all have different personal goals, even within the band that we all work towards.
But yeah.
I mean, I would say a big one is just being on tour as much as possible when it's okay to, of course.
Yep.
And then, I mean, really just like, take advantage of every opportunity because it's like, I mean, even like singing the national anthem, I probably won't do it again, but I'm glad I did it once. And I think that if we can just kind of find our ways into every random opportunity and just give it a shot, I think that would make a lot of sense for us as a band and just be a lot of fun to navigate the career that way.
I just want to
stop and just like never ever take it for granted again because I think about all the times that I pick sitting in the van and like scrolling my phone when we're driving through somewhere beautiful or like I don't know just experiencing things and like there's days where you just don't want to talk to anyone, you know, mm-hmm. and like that's normal and that'll still happen, but I'm never going to take it for granted again.
That's for sure.
I didn't realize how much I needed that as a part of my life. Like, cause you know, I can work and I can do all that at home, but like it all means a lot more when I know I can go back out and do that. And I know that's kind of how all of us are feeling. It's just like, there's a massive, like just void missing from all of us.
Yeah.
And
we were on tour when the pandemic hit. We were like 2 weeks deep into a 7 week
run. Probably.
Like yeah. Let's talk about that. I didn't even know. So tell me about where were you when you found out things were, cause I talked to, guys from the Acacia Strain and they were on tour out with Rotting Out and they had to scrap, everything and just kind of drive back.
The show was actually in Cleveland, like the night before our last show in Cleveland.
Okay.
We almost went to that show.
Yeah.
A lot of shows in Cleveland at that time. Like, we had friends in Cleveveland at that time, too, that were...
Their shows got canceled.
But it got weird. So, because we had pretty much our entire 2020 booked. And we were hoping to... The goal was to have the most successful year ever, and we just never expected the turn it took. But we were pretty much booked the rest of the year to just keep going. And we had a couple... we were going on tour with that band Secrets and Picturesque. And then we had a couple other stuff lined up for later on in the year. And then we had already spent pretty much all of February on tour. And then this is like the second week into March. And we're on. So we did one tour with a band from Canada called Widmore. And now we're on this tour with Motives early March. And we played a show in Rock Island, Illinois. Illinois. And then the NBA was shut down after our set.
When Rudy Gobert got coronavirus, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, but
it kept happening.
It was like
San Jose, remember?
Yeah, it was like we left Seattle and then Seattle was it was like right when all of it's popping. We left literally like the day after it was like the crazy outbreak and then played in San Jose. Then we were gone. Then the next thing we saw in the news, crazy outbreak in San Jose. We're like, are we giving everyone?
Yeah, I think it was just you guys carrying it around the nation. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
happened was it was like we would leave a city and like we left San Jose and they were the first city that I remember putting a cap on events like at 1,000 for their hockey game. And
then,
like when we would leave Austin, like the next day when we left Austin, they were like, oh, all these
fans,
South by shut down.
Yeah.
And for like And then I start getting messages from friends. And sorry to just cut in on
that. No,
like,
no.
I got messages from friends in Ohio that were like, hey, I don't think this show's going to go down. Like, yeah. And they were just texting me over the week. And so, like, it went within 7 days to, like, oh, hey, this is getting weird, to, like, when are we going to have to call this and go home? How are we going to get our people home? Because Chris and our photographer were both from Oceanside. Chris is still living there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were rumors of borders shut to states shutting down.
Yeah, I remember that. The
National Guard was shutting Washington down.
And yeah, like right, there are all those crazy rumors going around the first.
But no one knew.
Dude, we pretty much, like, I don't remember what that rally's called where they try to do, like, coast-to-coast in record time, but that was pretty much us. We're, like, to Chicago, blast to the airport, make Chris and Colton tuck and roll out the door and just bomb it to Seattle.
Yeah.
And, damn. I mean, it was fine. We could get in. Everything was cool, but, like, it was a trip.
It was weird. Yeah.
Crazy 24 hours.
I'd say also, like, in the midst of, like, the touring, like, we started off in February, like, you know, kind of joking about it, like, oh, like, where is this gonna go
exactly?
And like towards the, like, I remember, like, maybe a week before we called it, like, our parents started calling us, mm-hmm. telling us there is no toilet paper at the grocery stores, and they were struggling to find water and stuff, and like was when we were like, yo, like, our parents are freaking out, they're the ones that are supposed to be holding it down, you know?
That
was a wild time.
I remember just like, it was, we were like, I don't even know where I was going with this. I totally spaced.
No, we were in Cleveland that last day, and the night of our show, we were playing the smallest room out of three, like a three room venue.
Yeah.
And they canceled the two bigger room shows, and they limited our venue size to like 75 people.
Okay.
Because that night the governor was like 100 people capped.
Yeah.
And so that was our last show. It was Motive CD release show, and I kind of feel bad for them for that.
Yeah.
And we were just like, oh, time to go. Like,
yeah.
Go home.
We had
I remember because the tour was routed super weird. Too.
Yeah.
Like, we had to do, like, this is just, I'm just going to gripe about booking agents for a sec, but we got an overnight drive from LA to El Paso.
Nice. Hey, why not? They're not doing it, so why not?
Right. But we had a couple of days off in between that Rock Island show and then Motive CD release show. Mm-hmm. And we went to Cleveland to hang out at their bass player's house. And I remember I was like, I had called my girlfriend and I called my dad that morning, and they were like talking about coronavirus. And obviously this is before all the facts were out. And so I was just like, oh, no, it's whatever, man. Like, we're going to go until they send us home, man. We're going until the, like, trying to have that punk rock attitude. And then that night I was like, well, we're getting sent home.
Oh, and this whole time when we're at his house, I'm like fever sick, popping.
Yeah, you're like sick. Freaking out.
Yikes!
I was.
We all got tested.
We all got tested, and nobody had it, and it was just like,
well, maybe because remember those tests were like what, like 60% accurate, like right off the bat.
Nobody knew.
Well, you guys are alive. You guys are alive. You made it through.
Here.
I have a weird question. So this is, you know, going to make you have to think for a second. If circumstances were normal and the coronavirus didn't happen, let's just do a big what if, and you were on tour and you just did the touring like you were planning to, big year, but, you know, kind of just doing what you'd always been doing. Do you think you would have as much success, or did necessity kind of create this opportunity?
It did. It absolutely.
We've thought about it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we were sent home and we had so much free time on our hands that we were like, well, like, we can't just sit here and do nothing. Like, let's start writing for the next album. Let's do everything we can to, like, I mean, we were like, we have to release this album. We've been holding on to it for however long it has been. Like, no one's going to be releasing music right now because everyone is going to be like, well, I don't want to release an album I can't tour on.
Yeah.
And we were just, I mean, look, we have so much back catalog. Like, let's just put this one out in the world and start, you know, start on the next one and just try to send it as far as we can. And I think that kind of played to our advantage just because there wasn't a ton of releases like right around that.
Well, it was huge in like getting things like radio and stuff like that for a band. I mean, quite honestly, did not have the resume to show that they were worth it. But because we kind of held, because we set our release dates in January way before anyone knew anything, and we didn't look back. We didn't change it. And because we did that, I think it, I mean, it, I don't think as many bands were really trying to send their new music to satellite radio at the yep. time and submitting for video games and all of those things. And so, we know, it's so weird to think about, because as much as we want to complain, oh, this sucks and we really want to go back, and of course, we wish this didn't happen, but it's like, I don't think if it wasn't for this happening, we wouldn't have had the year we had. And mm-hmm. that's a weird thought, bro.
Yeah.
I wish we could tour, but also, like,
well, I wish the world wasn't like this. Like, I really wish this would have never happened. Like,
absolutely.
Ultimate dream, but it's like,
but you guys are the prime example of the number one example. I'll throw you guys up as the number one example of a band that took the reality of the morning and pivoted and just did what you could. You know, like you said, we all wish this wasn't happening, and it's horrible and awful, but it's reality. So what are we gonna do? And you guys have done really well for yourselves, so it's pretty awesome.
That means a lot.
Thank you.
So, we've talked about the future, and we've talked about your hopeful plans, and we've talked a bit about this past year. Now, I got to ask, if we can't go see you guys at a show right now, what's the best way to support you guys? If we want to throw some money at you and buy a t-shirt or, buy an album or something like that, what's the best way to support you guys?
Well, our website is avoidkicksass.org, and we got merch on there.
Okay.
You can actually donate us directly on Spotify. Thanks, Spotify, for adding that feature.
Nice.
If you want to, all our socials are at avoidkickass. And I mean, really, like, the best way you can support it, I mean, big or small, if you want to spend money on merch or something like that, that's really sick. I mean, if you dig what we're doing, I mean, share it, or even, you don't have to share it on social media, just show it to a friend. Like,
yeah.
Like, share our music with someone. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Or just let us know, like, how it made, like, if it made you have a better day, like, literally, we just want to know that kind of
stuff. Yeah.
It's just, if it hits you, it hits you, and we want to know it.
That's awesome. All right, so we're going to go into the last song here, but before we do, do you guys have any shout-outs or thank yous you'd like to throw out there while you're on KSW Loud and Local stay-home sessions?
Wow, I've got one.
Yeah.
Shout-out my drum teacher, Rick Bowen.
Yeah.
Shout-out longtime KSW listener, Dave Olson, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out KISW for all of the years of love, and congratulations on 50 years. I listened to that the other day.
Thank you very much, man. It's
go.
Very cool.
That, and shout out to all of the up and coming bands out of Seattle right now mm-hmm. that are working their little tushies off, because there's a lot of them. Scythe Gang 666, to give a big shout out. Osatia, Designer Disguise,
Home Team,
Dead Lakes. Come on, keep firing. Support the likes of you. Terra.
Vacuous.
So many bands.
There's so many.
So many.
Into the Flood. Lurch.
Into the Flood. Like, Lurch. Yeah. Retropose. Oh, wait, not Retropose. Dragon Thunder now.
Yep.
Shout out to...
And so many more.
Yeah.
Dude.
Shout out to the Board of Directors. You know what it is.
Shout out to the Board of Directors. You know what it is.
Nice, dude. Well... We're going to go into Hostage at a Beach House Party. This is from the Burner EP, available now. And again, this is a void. Tell me about this Hostage at a Beach House Party.
Well, no, this is the most, I'd say, experimental song on the record.
Cool.
It's my personal favorite. And I know, I think this song speaks for itself. I don't want to say anything about it.
Just listen to it. Have fun with it.
Right on, and turn it up and support. So support local music and support Avoid. Let's hope we can all see them live sometime this year. But in the meantime, stream their music and support them and give them a follow. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Yeah!
Anything right, I guess it's all right.